morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for music, Lord. I thank you for song. I thank you for just your love and your mercy and your grace, Lord. And I pray right now, Lord, as we open up your word, as we start to look at a very difficult subject, I pray that you would open up our hearts and minds, especially when it comes to suffering, Lord, that you would give us understanding. And most of all, Lord, I pray that you would comfort us in this time and that we'd be able to take what we learn and comfort others. And Lord, I just thank you again for your son, Jesus, Lord, that through Jesus, we can never suffer alone. That he suffered alone so that we would never be alone. And so, Lord, I'm just so thankful for that. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I know when you look at the back of your bulletin and you see this title, Abundant Life Suffering, it just doesn't really even make sense. And when I think about suffering, I'm not thinking about watching the Dodgers get pounded by the Giants two games in a row. Which is, anyways, that's not suffering. It isn't suffering. It's a game that we're watching. A Malaysian Airlines that takes off in the morning, flight 370, with 230 people on board, that never arrives at its destination and crashes in the sea. Those families, they're suffering. If you're a male, you have a 43% chance of developing cancer in your lifetime. 23% of them will die. If you're a woman, it's 38%, and 19% will die. We've seen suffering in cancer. We've seen it. I've had it. I know other people who have gone through it. I have a friend I grew up with in high school. Her name is Alicia, and her husband's name is John. And they have three children, Sierra, Hunter, and Tommy. And all three of her children have a rare genetic disorder called Sanfilippo syndrome. And it stops the body from being able to process sugars right. This disease, it cripples them. And Tommy has already been taken to the Lord, and Sierra and Hunter fight for their life every day. And John and Alicia spend all their life in and out of hospitals watching their children suffer. I could go on and on about story after story, but I don't have to because you have your own stories. You know this subject. All of you have experienced suffering in some way. And if you haven't, you will. Some of you have lived them. Some of you have already experienced this kind of suffering. Some of you are in chronic pain all the time. Or you know somebody who is. Why does a person go through their whole life without much struggle at all, and others struggle each and every day? There are wars and diseases and poverty and people who live with real suffering every day. And what kind of answer can I give them? What do I say to Alicia and to John? Because I can't even understand what they go through. For me, I find comfort in the Word of God, which talks a great deal about suffering. And I know someone hearing this right now is saying, well, that's too easy, Pastor Steve. You're a pastor, and of course you're going to say that. And although I'm a pastor, I'm also a person. Might surprise some of you. But I've also seen suffering, and I've seen it up close. I have. And I have realized that I may never understand the hows and the whys of this life. And I have seen things that have left me speechless. But what I do understand, I know a God who loves me and loves us, and He saved us. And He is able to do what I cannot do. And I look to Him. I am His witness to this. When I started thinking about this thought of abundant life, and if you have your Bibles, you can open up to John 10:10, and it's what we've been talking about for a number of weeks now, and we will continue for the next 2 weeks. When you look at John 10:10, something immediately jumps out at you. And I'll read the verse. And it says, "The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." Right off the bat, there's something wrong. There is a thief in our midst. And he has bad intentions. In fact, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the word for kill there is slaughter. I just think most English translations don't want to put something, such a strong word, in there. But that's what it means in Greek. With his arrival of this thief comes suffering. This thief takes many forms. The thief is the sin in the world around us. Sometimes the thief is Satan, our old enemy. And sometimes the thief is my own flesh, and my suffering is the consequences of my own sin. And how does suffering play out in the abundant life? That's the big question, isn't it? Because in this verse, we see both. We see the thief, and we see Jesus in the abundant life. In Jesus' life and time, suffering was a reality that was played out all around him. First, we think about the society and the time that he existed. There was a very rich class that was a very small percentage of people who controlled most things and money. And then there was a merchant class that was made up of tax collectors or merchants and educated people, and maybe by some small chance or some skill that they had or that other people needed, they were able to have a little bit more than the average person. But this too was a very small group of people. Most people in Jesus' time lived day by day and had very little. This made up the majority of people in Jesus' time. Suffering in Jesus' day, that was life. It was a part of everyday life. And it is for many people in the world, even today. And if you weren't suffering, you would be suffering if you lived long enough. It was just a matter of time. In fact, Jesus started his public ministry with these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight of the blind. He is to set liberty to those who are oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." You can see his target audience right off the bat is those who are suffering and those who are oppressed. That's who he came for. And he worked among them. Matthew tells us, "So his fame spread out through all Syria. And they brought him all the sick and afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them." He told the apostles they would suffer. He said in John 16:33, "I've told you these things that you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world." G.K. Chesterton, who was an author around the 1900s, he observed this. Jesus promised his disciples three things: that they would be completely fearless, absurdly happy, and in constant trouble. We know historically and by tradition, they were all in constant trouble. Every one of them suffered for the gospel. Not one of them escaped. Not one. And even John, who was the only one who died of natural causes, spent many years in prison on a little island of Patmos where he wrote Revelation. Jesus said we would suffer. Peter said we would suffer. Paul said we would suffer. Almost every New Testament writer mentions suffering in some way. It's inescapable. And so the big question is, why does God allow suffering at all? Because if we truly believe in an all-powerful and sovereign God, why does suffering exist? To find the answer, I take comfort in three verses, New Testament passages that I think about when I think about this subject. And on the back of your bulletin, there's a place there, and I would just encourage you to write these verses down and maybe come back and revisit them later. The first one is Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. And it says this: not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. One of my favorite verses is this one. 2 Corinthians first chapter, verses 3 through 7, which says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. It says this: blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves were comforted by God. For we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we may share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and your salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same suffering that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. And then lastly is James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And it says this: consider it a great joy. I always thought when I read that, James is nuts. But he says it. Consider it great joy. I love that, though. When you're suffering, can you imagine saying, consider it great joy? And yet here's James, he says it. And if you don't know who James was the half-brother of Jesus. And he was known as Camel Knees. Do you know why? He was leader of the church in Jerusalem. He was old Camel Knees because he spent so much time in prayer, it deformed his knees. And he was known for that. Which is just amazing to me. Old Camel Knees, though, said, consider it pure joy. My brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, but endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete and lacking nothing. Based on these verses and a few others in the New Testament, I can draw several reasons to why we might suffer. And so you might want to write some of these down as we think about this. We suffer as a testimony and as a witness to others. We suffer as a testimony and as a witness to others. How we suffer matters. People are watching how you suffer. Because we all suffer. How are you suffering? Think of the testimonies that you know of somebody, a godly saint who suffered in a way that you just couldn't even imagine. And what a testimony that was to everybody around them. That they endured something that you just can't even fathom. We suffer to help learn how to comfort and have sympathy in comforting others. I know, I'll say this. In 2009, I had thyroid cancer. And getting cancer was probably the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And I know that sounds kind of crazy. But it opened up a whole world to me. It did. It opened my eyes in ways I just never even imagined. First of all, when I hear someone has cancer, I understand what that means. I understand the weight of it. Most people who have never had cancer don't understand what that word, the weight, when it hits you, how it drives you to your knees because you think, this is it. I can talk to a group of people now that I never could talk to before. It opened up a whole other world to me. And then I was totally dependent upon God in that whole time. He got me through it. I learned things in that time that I never knew before. And I'm thankful for it now. I wouldn't want to go through it again. And I'm reminded every morning when I got to take two little blue pills to give me thyroid because I don't have one. So I'm totally dependent on those two pills. If I stop taking them, life ends for Steve. I just get all slow and lethargic, worse than I am now. Okay. We suffer to keep down pride. We suffer to stay humble. God uses suffering to humble us. I know when I went through my cancer, I was greatly humbled. I was the great, big, strong guy all my life, and now all of a sudden just walking across the room was a challenge. And now I don't have that much endurance. When I start doing some work, it doesn't take long for me to just kind of peter out, which is really is very, very frustrating. But it's the reality I have to live with. And it keeps me humble because I know God has got to be with me. We suffer to bring about continued dependence on grace and the power of God. We suffer to bring about continued dependence on the grace and power of God. When we suffer and we're in pain, we are depending on God. You will turn to Him in ways that you never imagined. I think about C.S. Lewis who said that in joy we hear God's whisper. In pain, God uses a megaphone. We can hear Him when we're suffering. In more ways than we ever can when we're happy and joyful and everything's going easy. We suffer to manifest the life and character of Christ. Because when we draw near to Christ in suffering, we become more Christ-like. That's important. And here's one that you probably never thought of, and I'll give you a verse that ties to it. We suffer to manifest, to show, the evil nature of evil men. And the righteousness of justice of God when it falls in judgment. Never thought of that, did you? Think about it like this. Here's the verse. It comes out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. It says this. It is a clear evidence of God's righteous judgment, that you will be counted worthy of God's kingdom, for which you are also suffering. Since it is righteous for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you. God allows your suffering so that others will see the evil in others. And so when God judges, it'll be righteous. Then lastly, we suffer to broaden our ministries. I shared earlier when I God, cancer, it opened up doors for me. It expanded my ministry to who I could talk to. And every one of you that suffer, you go through something, it's unique to you and to a group of people, and you can talk to them in ways that no one else can. And it expands your ministry because the world suffers. And God brings people in that can comfort. I love that. And he uses your suffering to help them. God is not a stranger to our suffering. He is a compassionate and loving God. And he sees the world and what sin has done into the entire human race, into creation. The presence of sin has forever brought suffering into existence. In the future, those who trust in Christ will see an end to their suffering. While those who afflicted suffering on others, will they themselves suffer for eternity as a result of their punishment? Something to think about. I take great comfort in knowing our God understands suffering because he suffered too. He did so willingly. How many of you would suffer willingly? I don't know anybody who would raise their hand to that. And yet he did. And he did so that he could put an end to suffering forever for those who are his. In John 10, in the same chapter that we looked at this, verses 17 and 18 says this. This is why the Father, this is Jesus talking, this is why the Father loves me, because I am laying down my life so that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up. I have received this command from my Father. He also said this in Mark 8:31. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and raised after 3 days. Augustine said this, God had one Son on earth without sin, but never one without suffering. Jesus spent his whole life suffering in and around those who were suffering. The writer of Hebrews says this, keep your eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that laid before him endured the cross and despised its shame, and then sat down at the right hand of God's throne. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself that you won't grow weary and lose heart in struggling against sin. You have yet resisted to the point of shedding your own blood. Hebrews 12, 2 through 4. Christ suffered. He endured the cross for my sin. When I get tired and I see suffering and I suffer myself, I can look to Christ who knows about pain. He understands what it means to be human. He knows what it means to be rejected and despised. He knows what it means to be tired and worn thin. He lived his whole life in and around suffering, and he too suffered to the point of shedding his own blood. I take comfort in knowing that Jesus now sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for the saints. He sent his Holy Spirit as a comforter to fill us, to make himself known to us. We are never alone without Christ. He is always with us. I take comfort in knowing he defeated death by dying himself. He died and rose again. And I know too, I will face the old enemy, death. But I know death has no hold on me. Because Jesus lives, I'll live. I take comfort in knowing he works in and through the life of believers everywhere. That's why the church is so important. Why being here, being a part of a body is so important, because God uses it. He has positioned his army all over the world. Think about all the nurses and caregivers and the people of the church who rally around other people. It's amazing to watch. They're ready to serve and to comfort. Think about all the organizations that Christians, World Vision, you could go on and on, all the Christian organizations that reach out all over the world and spend billions of dollars in time and effort and comfort people who are suffering. He loves us through brothers and sisters in Christ who walk alongside of us and provide for us and care for our needs and encourage us as we go. He is watching out for us through the body of Christ, the church. I take comfort in knowing all things, no matter what I face in this world, they all work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. All things. I take comfort in knowing my faith may grow small as a result of suffering. I may stumble on the why. Have you ever stumbled on the why? I have. And I may even question God. The psalmist did. The why gets us. But I know in my heart and by his word, he is forever faithful. In fact, Paul told Timothy this: if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. I have hope in the future, knowing the price for my sin has been paid for in full. Grace abounds, and death has been defeated forever. One day I will stand with the great multitude before the throne of God, and he will wipe away every tear, and he'll put an end to death and pain and sin, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I know that in any life that I have here now, that it is a gift by grace. We were just talking about this morning how the sun is shining out there on everybody. It's the most beautiful morning this morning. And how many people will give thanks to God this morning for the beauty, and yet they'll partake of his grace without even acknowledging him? But I know where it comes from. Any life that is given me was given to me through suffering. It is through the suffering Christ that I have hope, peace, joy, and forgiveness, and I know I'm loved. In Christ is the abundant life, and in Christ alone, even in suffering, because he suffers with me. Through suffering, I am drawn near to the great shepherd. And Isaiah said this about the great shepherd: he will gather the lambs in his arms, and he will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He died alone, so I would never be alone. No one, absolutely nothing, not even suffering, can snatch me from my Father's hand because of the suffering Christ. And so I'm thankful. And I hope you're thankful. And I hope you see suffering a little bit different. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for suffering. And through suffering, Lord, I can know you in a way that I can't know you any other. And Lord, that through the suffering Messiah who hung on the cross at Calvary, he shed his blood and gave his body that we might have life. And I pray now, Lord, that if there's anybody here that has never put their faith in Jesus Christ, that they've never trusted him and what he did on the cross, I pray right now, Lord, that they would turn to you. I pray they would repent of their sins and they would trust you with their lives and commit themselves to you. And they would receive forgiveness, love, grace, and mercy, and all the things that come in Christ. And Lord, I pray for any of you, anyone in this room right now that is suffering, Lord, I pray that you'd wrap your arms around them and that you would comfort them. And I pray that you would be with them and ease their pain. I pray for all those shut-ins and all the other people, Lord, that couldn't be here this morning because of just physical limitations. I pray that you'd be with them. I pray that you'd help us and use us, Lord, to go out into this world, that you'd help us bring comfort and the love of Christ to all those in need. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.